The repeal of Obamacare is personal. You can hear the outrage at protest rallies against the Republican-controlled U.S. Senate plan that will make health care coverage unaffordable for 22 million Americans and that will cut $770 billion from Medicaid. This is a plan, say protesters, that will save money instead of lives, that will take from the poor and give to the rich. It's a plan that serves a political ideology, not the people. Lindsay First, a teacher and Buncombe County Democratic Party official, made it clear what's at stake to the more than 300 people attending a health care protest rally Monday at Vance Monument in downtown Asheville.
3 days ago, a handful of us gathered for coffee. And you know, we needed that coffee because we hadn't slept since the Senate bill came out. We didn't sleep because we were scared. We were scared for our neighbors and our friends and our families. We were scared for perfect strangers around the country who are going to die as a result of this bill. And we sat together and discussed how our senators didn't seem to care, and then our fear turned into anger. We knew we had to get their attention, and so our anger turned into action. We asked everyone we knew, will you help us be seen? Will you stand with us and tell the Senate that we will not go backwards?
The fight is not an intellectual debate between conservatives and liberals. This is a battle over making life livable for Americans of modest means versus tax breaks for the well-off. Aaliyah Todd represents the Asheville Sustainable Restaurant workforce and knows firsthand how the plan would affect families.
My name is Aaliyah. I am a waitress, a bartender, and I am an activist. My two children are Medicaid children. Over 70 million Americans, one in five of us, use the federally aided program Medicaid. Sure, I have a story, but my story is the same as your story. In fact, it's the story of most Americans. It's the story of people who work tirelessly for a better life for our children, who sit around the kitchen table crunching numbers and praying we can pull those in tighter and tighter and that somehow that they will meet. But as we summon our strength today and every day to see our way through, somewhere in Washington, a bunch of politicians, many who have never struggled, are attempting to rip those very ends from our already tired hands. My mother is a struggling retiree with a disability. She relies on Medicare to maintain the modest quality of life. 57 million American seniors use this federally aided program we call Medicare. My mother has a story, but it's your mother's story, your father's story, the story of our grandmothers and our grandfathers. But I am not here today just to tell stories. I am here today to stand for us, the 23 million that will lose coverage if this horrible legislation passes. I'm here today to be sure our senators see us. We are better than this. We are more compassionate than this, and we will not stand for this. Yeah. But together, we are powerful. They are afraid of our unity. Stop this bill and stop them. We are the 23 million, and we will not be silent.
How bad would the situation be if this Republican health care bill becomes law? Jackie Kiger, an attorney with Pisgah Legal Services, which helps people in need, said the consequences could be summed up in one word.
It is devastating for the clients that we serve and the people that we seek to help in the community. It really guts the Medicaid program. It hurts low-income people in general, but very specifically children, disabled adults, older adults, and pregnant women. And when it comes to the affordability and the access to health insurance that the ACA has created, we have, for the past 4 years, been helping to enroll people. We've literally every year done hundreds and hundreds of appointments, probably 1,000 appointments last year. There is a demand for this. People need it, they want it, and it's affordable. And now that's all at risk. People will lose their coverage, and they will be back to a time when you're making a difficult choice between paying for your rent or paying your mortgage and paying for the care that you need.
For Jackie Kiger, it's not only professional, it's personal.
I would absolutely be affected by this bill. I can probably count five ways just on my hands. I have two parents who were both over the age of 70 and may very well need Medicaid services later on. And so I get very nervous when I hear about that. I have a spouse who has a very chronic, severe condition, relies on very expensive medication on a monthly basis that helps keep him healthy, but that is at risk. The idea of, you know, pre-existing condition coverage and lapses in coverage and being penalized, all of that is at play. Both of my children are young and have had treatment for asthma in the past that used to be treated as a pre-existing condition, and so that again would be worrisome to me. And myself, you know, I've had pre-existing conditions and have had C-sections when I had my children. There are just a bunch of things. Being a woman at times was a pre-existing condition before. So, you know, it's all very unsettling to find that we might go back to a place when you had coverage and it was, oh, surprise, this isn't covered.
Small business owners will feel the consequences of the new law. Sarah Whitmire is a wedding photographer. Her anxieties about health care are shared by many small businesses.
So under the Affordable Care Act, I get a subsidy for my health care. Again, I'm self-employed and take care of everything for myself. And the Affordable Health Care Act has actually made my health care affordable. Under this proposed law, my health care is going to be unaffordable again. My premiums are going to increase, and I'm afraid that I will lose my health care.
Young families, even ones with jobs with benefits, realize the risks that health care changes can bring.
My name is Stephen Eggett.
And this is your family?
This is my family. This is Kimberly, my wife, my son Jude, and my daughter Amelia. And we're fortunate, like I said, we have health care through our health care coverage through our work. But, you know, I've been on the exchange in the past, and that was definitely a blessing whenever there was really no other way to get healthcare insurance, you know, healthcare coverage. And I think that fundamentally healthcare is something that everyone needs. It ought to be treated like a fundamental human right. Our kids have had medical procedures where if we hadn't had healthcare insurance, it would have been devastating financially, and I mean, it was already it's a big enough deal, you know, as a parent, to have a child have to undergo any kind of major medical procedure, but then to also have to worry about the expense of it. I mean, even with insurance, it costs a lot.
For the elderly living on fixed incomes, the proposed law would be life-changing for many. John Wingetter of the Buncombe County Council on Aging explained.
We have a lot of older people who are going to be affected by this, and it's going to become much more expensive for them. Unless there are some tweaks, perhaps, to the legislation to make sure that they don't fall through the cracks. What's going to happen as the legislation is proposed is that insurance companies are going to be able to charge seniors up to five times the amount that they charge younger people. Currently, they can only charge them three times as much. Plus, they now expect a young person to spend about 6.5% of their salary on health insurance, where a senior is going to have to spend at least 16% of their salary on health insurance. And that's going to be almost impossible for many, many of our seniors here.
A five-fold increase for health insurance means shifting money from other household costs, such as housing and food, or making the decision to cut pills in half, or just not go to the doctor till it's too late, leaving last-minute treatment to emergency room caregivers. Access to health care is more than a political policy. It's a moral matter, a clarion call to conscience. Tyrone Greenlee, director of Christians for a United Community, spoke of his faith and mission.
I am called as a man of God, as a man of faith, as a follower of Jesus, to believe in the power of the God I serve, the God of the universe, the power of the Spirit that lives in me, the power of this collective, the power of all of you out there, the power of Fusion Coalition to affect change, to make a difference, to create the beloved community that we all crave. I am called to believe, as Dr. King said, that the moral arc of the universe is indeed bending towards justice. And finally, Finally, as a result of this calling, I am required to work for justice, to call my senators, to show up at rallies just like this one, to educate myself and others on these vital issues, to continue to speak the truth to power, because I have no choice. This is who I am. This is my identity. This is who I'm called to be. Amen.
After his speech, Tyrone Greenlee talked about the impact of the proposed cutbacks in care.
As a person of color in this community and in this country, I do have a personal stake here. And a lot of the folks that I work with, folks who are in my church, who are uninsured, who are part of the vulnerable populations who will be affected by this, are people who are my family and my friends and my church family. And this could be a catastrophe for them over the next 5-6 years if it passes.
Yeah.
Yeah, people who have to choose between food and medication, you know. Asheville is, you know, I was born and raised in Asheville. I'm an Asheville native. And I've watched Asheville become a place that's more and more out of the reach of the average working man or woman, where home ownership is out of the reach of the average working man and woman, where finding work, you know, finding work that is living wage work that you can sustain yourself and your family and your household on, has become almost out of the question. And now we have this legislation which will create an even greater burden and hardship on people who are already struggling, who are already at the lower end of the economic scale, and who, I think, again, for this could be a mortal wound in a lot of ways.
What can be done? Cell phones must become Gideon's trumpets, say protesters, raising a clamor to cause the powerful to question their grip on political outcomes. Jasmine Beach Ferrara, Campaign for Southern Equality Executive Director and Buncombe County Commissioner, rallied protesters to act. This is Peter Kent reporting for Asheville FM News, WSFM LP 103.3 FM.